You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
This is episode number 226. Bounty hunters, bounty hunters, they're bounty hunters. They hunt bounties through space.
Hi, Jeff. Geek me all knowing box set, stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before, 'cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Hi, Matt. I've been really amazed at the ability of this creative team to fashion a story around paper towels. It's been really impressive.
If it's got paper towels and Star Wars, it can only mean one man. Dengar.
Yeah, but I'm just ready for Brawny Hunters, which I think is going to be the sequel.
You heard it here first. Ethan, make this happen. Brawny Hunters. the Dengar one-shot.
Everybody has to have a mustache.
Exactly. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still adjusting to the daylight savings time. So I hate spring.
I never adjust. I just, my mom was the same way. We just stay kind of messed up until we fall back again, like God intended.
Well, you know, thankfully, so, you know, because I'm out in the mountain time zone and I'm already skewed. And, you know, since I'm away from Eastern, I'm already operating at a really weird level in terms of clocks. So, you know, getting up at like at 4:30 so I can go to work at 5. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
This is awful early. So, but, you know, at least I'm getting off like at 5 or 5:30 in the afternoon. So that's cool, too. I can't.
That's always fun. Much.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, yeah, Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Not a whole lot of news. We do expect June solicits to come out this week. We've gotten a sneak peek at the covers of the High Republic number 6, including a variant by Peach Momoko. And, of course, the main cover features Avar Chris riding a Rancor, and that's by Phil Noto. Yeah, you can find that at StarWars.com, or you can go to our Twitter feed, or more easily, you can go to our Facebook page where we have both of those covers showing. And then, of course, we are looking. We got a great look at the variant cover for the High Republic number 4, which is due out, I believe, April 7th, by Natasha Bustos, and it's pretty awesome, I think. As for you who were hoping for the variant cover for the High Republic number 5 by Bernard Chang that had been initially solicited, looks like it's been canceled. As a matter of fact, it was listed as canceled. So don't expect that. But I'm sure that there will probably be another variant cover offered in its stead. And jumping ahead in the show, if you will, Star Wars Adventures Volume 2, Number 4 will come out March 24th. So I checked with IDW to make sure. So, but what's interesting, though, is apparently a lot of shops may be getting it this week, but they're supposed to hold it a week. So
So if you go into a shop and see it on the shelf, you have a decision to make.
Yeah, yeah. So
do you get it early or do you narc?
Well, I don't think most shops are usually really good about, you know, if it says it's got an on sale date, then they pull them back. But sometimes, you know, mistakes are made, that these things happen. So that's just the way it is, though. You know, what can you do?
Indeed.
What can you do? And last but not least, the Star Wars Saga film adaptation graphic novels that IDW has been publishing. Well, we are getting Attack of the Clones, and it is due out December 7th. So that's going to be great, great fun. Looking forward to that one. And that's it. That's it. That's all I got for news.
That's it. Okay, well, I guess we have to talk about comics then. Well, or comic, I should say.
Kind of why we're here. Well, there was two comics out this week. You know, there's also the fourth printing of the High Republic number 1. So, but
the fourth printing, yeah.
Yeah, but since we've already reviewed the High Republic number 1, why are we going to do it again? Except to say, totally bitchin' cover.
Yes, agreed, 100%.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Much like the cover to Bounty Hunters number 10, I really dig this cover a lot.
I am really loving this. Mattia Di Iulis is doing a great job with these covers because it's got this very high art style to it and very detailed and just very action-oriented. One could even say that it's kinetically leaping off of the shelf.
So, right.
And, And this one, of course, shows Dengar fighting with Valance with a clearly perturbed Scrag looking on in the foreground, in the background. And then, of course, then we have the Rebellion ships and the Onaka gang ships, so fighting each other as well. But I love this cover. There is, of course, an Empire Strikes Back variant cover by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Neeraj Menon. So if that's more your cup of tea, you can always get that. So there we go.
All right. And this is the Terminus Gauntlet, which is part three, A Desperate Gambit.
Yes, 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 indeed. Written, of course, by Ethan Sachs. Art by Paolo Villanelli. Colors, as always, by the supreme Arif Prianto. Letters by the supreme Virtual Calligraphy's Travis Lanham. Production design on this book is done by Nick Russell. Assistant editor is Tom Groneman. The editor is Mark Benizia. And for Lucasfilm, we have senior editor Robert Simpson. Creative director Michael Siglane. Art director Troy Alders. For the story group, we've got Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And from the Lucasfilm art department, we've got Phil Shostak. So, who was really cool. He gave a nice shout out to Broaxium last week, saying that despite, you know, his knowledge and involvement with all the Star Wars comics, he loves to watch their quick shot of Broaxium every Wednesday.
And those guys are getting some attention all over the place. I noticed they were included in I think Blue Milk Review or something. Gave them a shout out as well. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
We like those guys, and they do good work.
Broaxium, yeah, we like them. So, as a matter of fact, one of the Broaxium members is Chris R. And I met Chris at a comic shop in South Philly, and he applauded me on my choice of patches. Because it was the mission patch for the joint U.S.-Russian mission to Jupiter that was featured in the movie 2010. And he looked at me and I looked at him, and we knew right then and there we were going to be bros.
Nice.
So, because he was just like, nobody gets that patch. Nobody. You're the first person, and this patch has been here for years. I said, well, nope, it's mine. It's going on my book bag. So, but enough of that. Let's dive in. We are on the Imperial forward base in Kulosk, then. And we have
a flashback, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's important for this series, you know, given that, given that Bylet Valance has that history with the Imperials.
And right, this that's sort of their framing device, yeah.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is kind of building on what we saw in the pages of the miniseries Han Solo Imperial Cadet. You know, Valance has been injured. He's missing a leg. He's had damage to his head. He's tore up real bad. And he is still excited about getting back to work because he's talking to an Imperial officer, and it's Valance is about to realize that the Imperial Navy has no use for somebody who is damaged. And it is a cold, sobering moment of realization for our guy.
Yeah, it's just, this whole thing is it's not cool on the part of the Empire, but also not surprising at all.
Well, no, we should have.
And they can't even get his name right. He's reading this, and he can't even get the guy's name right.
And I really like that, because that just adds insult to injury. I have to ask you, Cadet Bylert Valish, it's Valance. Top Cadet Bylert Valance. Yes,
he's really into being the top cadet, yeah.
Well, you know, if you're good at something, you might as well embrace it, you know, and let other people know about it repeatedly and often.
Right.
I don't think
That's a sure sign of confidence in yourself.
Yeah, but then again, I don't think up to this point in Valance's life, I don't think he's ever heard the term humility. Well, as infection set in your leg, we amputated it. Your rank doesn't qualify for Imperial cybernetics coverage. That's a low blow. And it's not like you can afford a decent replacement yourself. I'll pay. I have some credits that I was going to send back home. Just fix me up and get me in back in that TIE cockpit, and I'll... Cadet Valish, or should I say former cadet, there is no way that the Empire would entrust a failure like you with a TIE fighter ever again. Your incompetence put the mission in danger. The best you can hope for is an infantry slot. So, and of course, and then love this reply from Valance. Get the hell out of here before I beat you to death with this metadroid. Get out of here! And you know, we see Han coming in. Yep, that Han. Yeah, you certainly have a way with people. What are you doing here, Solo? Come to gloat? That's not something I do to someone in your condition. Did I just overhear you say you want to stay in the Imperial Navy, but now you actually have an out? Nah, I should have known you wouldn't understand. What does a scoundrel like you know about fighting for a cause bigger than yourself? Foreshadowing.
Right.
This is where the narrator comes in. Reader, he did know.
So. Editor's note. He finds out.
He learns.
And I love this because Violet goes off on this monologue about, you know, you can stick your pity up a Rancor's backside. I'm going to earn my way back into that cockpit, which we've heard and we've seen him try to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he says, all I've ever wanted is to be an Imperial pilot. If I can't do that anymore, maybe I should have just died in that crash. And this is where he says, I'm sorry, Solo. You risked your life to save me. I'm not good at saying thank you, but thank you. Solo? And in the meantime, Solo has just left while he's monologuing. That cracked me up.
But it gives
it's
us
so
a nice,
on brand for Han.
Totally. But it gives us a nice segue to the present. You know, and here we are along the Terminus hyperspace route now. You know, and, you know, we're inside the Onaka gang's main ship. He's gone. And that's Dengar. But it's not like Valance to retreat. He's up to something, Captain Skag. The only reason why the Onaka gang is keeping you alive, Dengar, is because you promised us something on this ship that's worth a lot to the Empire. Not a something, a someone. And of course, you know, the Onaka gang is making its way through this rebel ship. And, you know, they are encountering scattered pockets of resistance. See what I did there? And, but the Onaka gang is also, you know, quite capable of dealing with these small little bands who are popping up and, you know, quick pew, pew. And again, I love that they put the pew, pew in the comics.
Right, exactly. It's great.
It's total fan service, but I'm here for it.
And he said that there's someone on the ship, something on the ship that's worth a lot to the Empire. And Dengar said, not something, a someone. And then so he said, or she says, sorry, she says, just one someone, then we can kill the rest of these rebels. I don't want anyone trying to be play hero. And I love that. We have that word inset against balance. Valance. I did a combination of his name.
Call him Valash. I'm sure he won't mind.
Valance. Valance. He's crawling up the outside of the ship because he can breathe in space, apparently, because of his cybernetic implants. And he uses one of them to
Jeff, remember, what? It's space fantasy.
Right.
It's not hard science fiction. It's not The Expanse.
Well, except we'll find out later on. There's something that happens later on that would indicate that I'm not being overly pedantic. We'll talk.
Yeah.
But
I'm
he
sorry.
Uses his connectors.
There's a, picture of you. There's a picture of you next to the word pedantic in the dictionary.
This
I know
true.
I put it there. It's only in my copy.
Right. It's a collector's item.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. Please continue.
Yeah, our listeners like to hear us talk about comics, not dictionaries. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true. Yeah.
Although dictionaries with photos are my kind of dictionaries, as we've all learned. So yeah, he opens up he gets inside
Jeff
somehow.
Jeff hates words.
And the guy, the guarding says, what? And he looks and he goes, oh, poodoo. And so Valance just lays him out. And he says, damn you, Solo, you were the one who told me to stay away from causes. What did you get me into? Which is funny.
Yeah. So
because of what he had just said to him in the past.
Exactly. So, you know, Han has kind of come full circle, you know, in the, you know, getting Valance to help out the rebellion now. But then we have a shift in location. We go back to Rusan and we are there with Tonga, who we thought was dead, but did not die and has in fact been recuperating on Rusan. And as a result, you know, Losha, Tonga's wife, has gone back to find Tonga, and she's got her now, and she's getting her off of Rusan.
And it's about time, too.
Better late than never.
and they're saying they're trying to get out, and she says, don't push too hard. There's no rush. Once you get back to the farm, you can take all the time you need to recover. She says, about that. I can't go back, Losha. Not yet. And that's when she says, I told you before, I'm not going to just stand by and watch you go off by yourself on some crusade for revenge. Did you not learn a thing from almost dying? She says, this is not about revenge. It's something I have to do. But I did learn something. I can't do this alone. I can't do this without you. Will you help me? And of course, her answer is
big old space smooch. And I like this. It's a brief moment of tenderness. and personal connection that can often get lost in a comic like this, not because of an oversight, but because of the fast-paced, frenetic action that we see in this book. You know, so you.
But it's a perfect way for her to answer as well.
It is. You know, you steal a kiss whenever you can, especially when it's the love of your life, and you know, and Losha knows, you know, Tonga is the one for her, just as Tonga, you know, just as Tonga knows that Losha is the one for her as well. So, and then of course, you know, we have our caretaker. So, despite everything, you're going to risk your life again to go after Nakano Lash's killers. And this is Tonga. I appreciate all you've done for me, but if you think you can talk me out of, oh, I wouldn't dream of trying to stop you. But if you're going after those responsible for my friend's death, then please take the Nexu. Just, you know, okay, just Paolo Villanelli and Ara Prianto have illustrated a Nexu, which is an apex level predator that we remember from, you know, that scene in Geonosis in Attack of the Clones. And it's just, yeah, this big wide-eyed grin like a lapping puppy dog, you know, with all of its eyes and its monstrous array of teeth. Seems she already has taken a liking to you, or she would have eaten you by now.
Grrr. I love that line. You know? And she is, yeah, she's smiling as she's growling. It's hilarious.
She is, and it's a nice little moment of levity. You know, so I applaud Ethan and Tommy and Mark for the editing pace there, because they inject two wildly non-action oriented sequences without disrupting the overall pace of the story.
Absolutely.
So then we cut to page 10. You know, we are aboard the rebel ship. They've got the engine room secure. A bunch of rebels are, you know, they've, I guess, not been hogtied, but, you know, they've been secured.
Get binders on, yeah.
They get binders on. And that's, of course, where we return to Sproul. You know, because, you know, we have, you know, while one pirate is saying the engine room is secure, keep these prisoners alive for now in case the captain has use for them, we have one of the rebels, one of the crew talking to Sproul. What are you doing, Sproul? They'll see you. And then we do a great little panel inset on right onto Sproul. If I can shift closer to you, maybe I could deactivate your cuffs control module. Wait until the guards look away. Of course, then next panel, clang. Is that a thermal detonator?
And, it is.
Wait, what was that? I thought we rounded up all the rebels.
And then, I love the way that they're weak way, I believe, right?
Yes, they are.
They're drawn because they look different. You've got two completely different people here. And the bone structure is similar, but there is a definite difference. And one of them even has the head wrapping and earrings just like a pirate on
exactly.
A pirate ship that we've
exactly.
seen. I love it.
So it's a very very good attention to detail that Paolo and Arif have put here. So
this is probably just a cargo rat. We should check it out anyway. Scrag will get angry if one of those rebels gets past us. Can't imagine anything worse than making the captain angry. And right as they say that, Valis just appears like a monster.
Oh my god!
Behind him, it's disturbing.
Yeah, I'm looking at this panel that Paolo has drawn here. You know, and that Arif has colored, and it literally, you know, it is evoking to me like Marvel's old Frankenstein comics and Dracula comics from the 70s.
Yes.
You know, just because he's right there in the shadow, and you know, he's got, you know, you see the metallic half of a facial skull and that red eye, and it just sort of is drifting through the gas. You know, so again, perfect coloring here, and then you see Valance's hand just reach out and grab one of them by the, you know, by the cuff of their shirt. What? And pull them both back. You know, he grabs both of them and pulls them back. Erk, erk, and just holy moly. Just puts them in a burner. So, and then of course, you know, the other, you know, the next page, you know, while Valance is admiring his handiwork, and more importantly, I think he's ensuring that they don't come back. You know, you will die for that, you cyborgs. And Sproul comes up. What's your language on my ship, you bleep, 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 bleep? So maybe it's a Fank Daring or something like
Dank
that.
Dank Ferrick, yeah. So, something along those lines.
You know, and then, thank you. I thought we were goners. You're not safe yet, Private Sproul. Can you tell me what the pirates could be looking for? And Sproul is legitimately, that's just it. There's nothing of value on this transport, just mining supplies. None of this makes sense. I found scorching around the hyperdrive motivator. That's not wear and tear. Somebody sabotaged the ship. Sabotage. that's not a bad idea. Ah, and then we cut back to the bridge of the rebel ship, you know, where the skipper has shown his true colors. So,
and that's where we find out that the one person is Commander Hill Purpura. And Dengar introduces him as a rebel commander. He says, I should say ex-rebel is more accurate. And he says, I was beginning to think you wouldn't be able to hold up your end of the bargain. And Dengar says, good to see you, Hill. And Hill says, yeah, you look a lot different since the days when I was beating you at swoop races and racing as kids on Corellia. And, of course, Dengar doesn't remember it that way. And so the captain speaks up, says, enough, give me the transponder codes for every ship in the Rebel Armada. The Empire will pay for that information. And, of course, Purpura says, well, it's all up here. Do you think I'm naive? Blind trust and idealism are what got the rebellion crushed on Hoth. Me? I'm not a believer. I'm a survivor, not a believer. And then the lights go out, and he very helpfully exclaims, someone cut the power.
And, of course, that, you know, Dengar knows Valance. And then got us a nice little Vader-inspired line here from Strag. Tear this ship apart until you find him, and then tear him apart.
I loved that.
That was a great line.
And the way that the character is drawn as well, it's great.
And then we cut light years away. We got us a blue X-Wing with a great-looking astromech in there, and then the Mist Hunter pulls up. The Mist Hunter, of course, is the ship of Dengar, Zuckuss and Four Lover Money. So
yeah,
for ELOM, because that's how they say it in the dialogue. It's
for LOM.
It's for ELOM for ELOM.
No, that's just the way the same way they write out C-3PO and 2-1B. It's that's sort of phonetic.
Oh, for LOE.
For LOM.
For LOM.
Yeah. It's a really weird way to do it.
I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish they would just write the numbers. So.
Exactly. I agree. Of course, 4LOM says there's no sign of life, any life form on the X-Wing, but there is a distress message, and Zuckuss says Zuckuss knows, Zuckuss senses. It is Valance. Come, 4LM, our prey has delivered his coordinates right to us, which that can't be good, but that's all we see of them for this issue.
Yeah.
We cut back to the ship, and one of the guys is complaining, this was supposed to be an easy job, makes me miss the days when Hondo was in charge.
Ooh, nice little callback.
And the partner says, bye, you're not old enough to remember all the trouble he got us into. Look, the airlock hatch is open. Someone must be trying to hide inside.
Do you think? Could it be?
And so they go inside, and then Valance is behind him, and he says, doesn't require much intelligence to become a pirate, does it? And, of course, one of them helpfully says, what? Let us out of here. Okay. Click. Shoots them out the airlock. And look at that. They can't survive in the vacuum of space. Matt, it's almost like there are rules to this universe.
Almost. It's almost as if it was science-based. So, just love that. And I'm sorry. It's wrong to love that. But just that, you know, just that scene of Valance clicking the button, you know, okay.
Yeah. No. Okay.
I get a charge out of that. So
if you insist.
Yeah. So we cut back, and then, you know, here comes Skag. Looks like there was a fight in here. Multiple attack points. Valance had help, Dengar says. And then the rebels pop up for the rebellion. Yar! Pew! Do you know how many I've killed to earn the captaincy of the Onaka gang? One more means nothing to me. And he just, you know, doesn't shoot him. Now he just, you know, guts him. Just gets him with a blade. So... And then we get a little inset here. Dengar, you know, telling Purpura, first chance we get, we're going to have to kill her because she knows she's planning. You know she's planning to do the same to us. Suits me. One less cut when we sell the database to the Empire. So,
yeah, but shocker. They can't be trusted.
No, so they're gonna kill Skag. So, yeah, and then, of course, now we get a sort of it's almost like a – now we shift from espionage to almost like a horror movie, you know, to suspense, you know, because you got, I know you're down here somewhere. Come out and I'll offer you a quick death. And then there's Valance just appearing like Jason out of nowhere. Just
and you see a crunch, so we assume that he breaks an arm.
An arm? It looks like an ankle, actually. It looks like
okay.
He's going, but
I think you're right. It's his foot. Yeah, he's from underneath and he says, I have a counter offer.
You know, and then we get the power back on and we see Sproul. She's still in there. So she's watching everybody. And of course, Skag is like, all right, now it's our turn to hunt and kill. Take no prisoners. And then great full page here on page 18. I gotta hurt that Scurve bad now that he can't hide in the dark anymore. You know, these two weak player looking at, you know, Skag, and there's Valens.
And he's looming behind him. Yeah, it's hilarious.
He's almost like in full Terminator mode here.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah, it looks looks a lot like the Terminator. And of course, the next, I love that the next scene is sort of blurred out.
Oh yeah, because it gets
like
really,
he's cut one of them in two.
It does almost. I mean, I wonder if he did. It kind of does look like he did. You know, with that harpoon looking thing of his. So.
Yeah. And of course, another one of them is still trash talking. A lot harder to kill a weak way when you need an attack from behind like a coward.
stab him
while he's distracted.
And then this is where Dengar pops in, because Dengar grabs. You know, speaking of distractions, consider my gambling debt canceled. Dengar. What the criff is he doing here? Says Valens as he's in the middle of fighting. And then, you know, and Dengar is, you know, whoa. So,
looks like that's my cue to leave, Captain.
Yeah,
and the captain says, I should have killed you when I caught you cheating at the Sabacc table.
And the captain slips away, but you know, there's Purpur. You ruined my one chance. He's got a gun drawn on Valens. You ruined my one chance of getting out of this hell. And for what? You don't know what it's like to be indoctrinated to believe in this great hope and find out it's all hopeless. And then, of course, you know, Sproul comes up from behind and just whacks him on the back of the head with a steel pipe.
Hard.
Yeah, wham. And he goes, you know, he just drops. And this look on Sproul's face, you know, this look of contented satisfaction, almost smugness. Some of us still believe. So... And then we cut back into Dengar, you know, who's still bound. He's still in shackles. Got to remember not to gamble against pirates ever again, especially when they're the ones pouring the spice brew. Come on. Where's the disengage control? Going somewhere? And Valens cold cocks Dengar and looks like
and
he
knocks
out a
tooth.
And
the blood coming out of his mouth is a nice touch, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I see you still hold grudges. Well, you ungrateful nerf herder. I saved your life back there. So, you know, Valens doesn't care. Punches him again. Oof. I guess I do hold grudges. Like when a hunter on my crew sold me out to Darth Vader. Of course, you remember that.
Yeah, and of course, Dengar is like the complainer of all the bounty hunters. It's like, if I weren't cuffed, just my luck. First I lose out on the Han Solo bounty to that damn Boba Fett, who's probably already got the carbonite to Jabba by now. Then I run into the one pirate I owed money. Then you. And of course, Valens says, what did you just say? You mean the part about the pirate? And he kicks him in the chin.
Crack. So, and then, we go to the next.
And I love this next section because these two ships look like something straight out of Star Trek to me. I think we talked about it last time.
Oh, we have, yeah.
Looks a bit like a bird of prey.
Yeah, these are
just a flying saucer.
It does. And you know what? Even if it's intentional, I'm here for it. I am all for that.
Absolutely.
So I'm totally all for that. And so all of a sudden, the rebel fleet pops in from hyperspace. Valens, come in. It's Condra. I received your message. Clever using that old Bounty Hunters Guild code. Valens? Valens? And then Sproul pops up. You're not Valens. Or Commander Purpura, for that matter. Who? Private Blanche Sproul, sir. There's something you should know about the commander. And Valens? He just left, sir. He left? Going where? I don't know. But I wouldn't want to be the person he's heading after.
And I love that shot of Dengar just crumpled on the floor next to Valens. Valens says he's in the captain's chair, just like tearing off for somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now we will find out what happens. Although, of course, this does seem to set up the War of the Bounty Hunters, coming in May. You know,
yes.
With those crossovers. So next issue, it's called The Great Hunt of Malastare. And of course,
we get a great boss cover. That's great.
That is an awesome boss cover. And again, that's by Mattia DeLulis. So I like it. It's really good. Solid issue as always. I really love
really
the pacing.
Fun issue. Yeah. Again, a lot happening. A lot of connective tissue here. But this is a part of the story that needed to be told. And it moves at a really fast clip. But again, it covers a lot of ground. We're jumping around and everywhere, but it never feels crowded or rushed, and I think it's really a credit to this creative team. So I'm really enjoying with this storyline.
I do. I'm loving it as well. So very solid book. It'll definitely hold me over. So
Absolutely. And the next issue comes out in April?
Yep.
Or do we have to wait until May? Okay.
No, it's April. It's April.
Okay, we do have one in April. Okay, well, what do we have next week?
Well, next week we have Dr. Aphra number 8.
Yay!
And then we have, as I said at the top of the show, Star Wars Adventures number 4. And that's going to, long last. And, in addition to continuing the Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan story on Kashyyyk, the backup story is a solo, a Star Wars story, cast adjacent tale featuring Rio, Val, and of course Beckett.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
I'm really looking forward to that one. So, because always love me some solo, a Star Wars story era content.
Me too. Especially my VHS copy of Solo, a Star Wars story I got off of eBay.
I am so jealous. That is so cool.
It's so cool. It's really cool.
That is like so awesome.
I think he's still got Rogue One available, maybe.
I'm going to have to look them, it's like, because I got a VCR. I could actually watch it.
I got it just to be a display piece. That's the only reason I got it. I could probably track down a VCR, but I really just wanted it as a display piece. So
I don't blame you.
All right. Well, we will be back next week to discuss, hopefully, those two books and anything else that happens between now and then. And until next time, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
I am Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always with those bounty hunters. Dun, 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 dun.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!